The topic is Ki Yishechad B'Levecha. I assume that the reason that this topic was picked because Taki is an Achdistika topic. You're talking about the Gantz Chai Yisrael came to hear the Das Hashem and the Ratzon Hashem with the experience, obviously, that they were going to listen to it. So I have a kashi. What happened? Why aren't we like that? Why weren't they even then like that? Why do you look at all the machlekes we had in the Midbar? They all were coming to listen to the same thing, only what they thought Hashem is. How could you have a machlekes like that? So all of us, you do have, obviously, people's, their own, prejudices, the geison that exist. And we'll talk about possibly we saw it right away. There were really three Kabbalas at there. There was not just one, it was three times. One is in Parshas Yisrael and two are in Parshas Mishpatim. The one in Parshas Yisrael is called Shadiva Hashem Nase. That happens to be a commitment that whatever God says, I'm going to listen to. God, okay. Now, they said this, of course, when the Rebbein Shem told them, V'atem t'yili mamlechas kahana v'gay kodesh. Eila advar mashe t'daba b'nei Yisrael, that's what he told Moshe Rabbeinu, and Rashi says, le'yipochas v'le'yesa. Now, with six words is all they said. Now, if I tell you, you're going to be the biggest, you want to be one of the mamlechas kahana, you want to be God's chosen people. Well, without knowing what it means, it sounds great. So we want to be the God's chosen people. Okay, so we all set up, whatever he says, it goes. Then Moshe Rabbeinu may have told me, because Rashi brings down the Mishpatim when they said, the next Kabbalah was, Kol Hadvorim Asher Nasu. What does the Rashi say over there? He says that took place on the fourth day, which is one day later than it did place of the third, the one called Shadiba Hashem Nase. And that seems was not even accepted by Kodesh Baruch Hu. That was not considered a Kabbalah Satera. Obviously, what was wrong with it? When you divide the Torah in the Kaladvam Shadiba Hashem, means everything he said is right. Means I examined the things, the words that he said, to see if I agree with it. And since I agree with everything he said, so I'm willing to accept it. So the meaning is that they have this expression always, if I understand it, I accept it, I do it. Then it's not God's Torah, it's your Torah. If you understand it, that's when you do it. The whole idea is to learn from God what God wants you to do. And therefore, maybe I'll, by working on that, trying to understand what God wants me to do, maybe I'll reach a certain madrega because of it. That's the second one. And for that, they brought korbanos. And because of that, they wanted to make to show that there's no more nekiyus. They said, Nase v'nishma, kol hashadibah Hashem, Nase v'nishma. And Nase v'nishma, the way normally the world translates it, is we will do, and then we will try to understand it. If that's a case, that somehow doing the commitment to do before we understand is a great commitment, then kol hashadibah Hashem, Nase is a bigger commitment. Because I'm not very interested to ask you why. In other words, if your nishma means I want to know why, that means they have certain nifachti want to know where you holding at it. So Shiva Zatzal learned that it means kol hashadibah Hashem Nase, that we will do vinishma, we will listen how to do it, risk for our rebbeim, how to do the mitzvah, or how to do what the understanding is. So that means basically, we mavatel ourselves, we have no opinion here, we're going to ask our rebbeis what it means. So what we accomplished was a very interesting thing. The Venkat Kol Shadiba Hashem Nase, they said the first statement, that means 600,000 people are going to hear the Torah from Yad Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. and they're going to have 600,000 different opinions of what they heard. It won't be far off. It won't be pshat that they, I reject this or I don't reject this. The question is, what did they hear? It's like tasters. You have different tasters, and you have tasters in the Gemara. Then you have the tasters, and whatever the tasters you have. And they're off by one word or something. And that one word changes the meaning completely. Makes it more understandable, true. But it changes the word, makes the meaning differently. And then you're really arguing the two shittas. So but they all heard about the same thing. So it's considered hearing one Torah. So we would have had 600,000 Torahs. And it probably there would be no heter for one to ask another guy, what did God say over here? Because you're supposed to listen to yourself. You're supposed to use your own seichel. But the second one, because Nasev and Ishma were willing to listen to our Rebbeim, and then they asked Moshe Rabbeinu to be the interpreter between them. So then, of course, it's a different story. Then it's called Shedan. And then we can ask a Shaila because we're relying on him anyway. And we see another ayah to this thing, but in both the first two, it said Kol Echad or Yachtov. They all answer at the same time. That means that we're making the same commitment. On the third one, it doesn't say Yachtov or Kol Echad, just said Nasev and Ishma. When you have one teacher, you don't have to have the same, you don't have to say it at one time, because you only have one day. Now, of course, I'll interpret this way, you'll interpret that way, but we're all interpreting that what the Rebbe said. So a lot of things started like in the middle one, what I understand and so on. And of course, less and less they understood and whatever it is, and they say it's always to do what they want to. Okay. So a lot of the factions that they started, that they called, started because they had a Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara was that they certain laxity they wanted, whatever that means. And they felt it was more liberal, whatever the reasons are. Doesn't make, but I have to agree with it. And if I don't agree with it, I don't do it. So therefore, like I said, it's your turn. Okay. And this really existed in their time too, because Yedos and Aviram and Kerach and all these guys who made machlekes and against the Rabbeinu Shlomo, against his parts of what he said, didn't make a difference. But it wasn't a complete commitment afterwards. Originally, it was a complete commitment. Now, in our time, it's become a joke in a certain extent. What do I mean? You have each one keeps making more kulos than the other one. I'll give you a marshal, like the conservatives claimed they were never going to make intermarriage. And that's before conservative to conservative Torah. Okay, now they make intermarriage. Okay, why? Because it's too competitive. There's no more conservatives. Conservatives is a dying institution. On the other hand, Reform is a growing institution from Goyim. A lot of Geirim, if you want to call it, that type of a Geir. So people want to be Jewish a little bit. And those are the game. And we have, Baruch Hashem, a nice birth rate. And we also have the fact that people who realize the truth come back. And therefore, we have a growing community while they're falling apart. When I say it became a joke, the joke that used to be, when it was my time, I was talking about a guy who was applying to be a rav somewhere, and the president is telling him, giving him the tips of what he should talk about. He says, don't talk about Shabbos, because most of the people are mechal Shabbos. Don't talk about Gezel, because the businessmen. And, it's a rough world out there, dog eat dog. And they're not exceptionally honest. They cheat a little here. Don't talk about kosher, because they have business meetings and so on. They can't afford the kosher stuff. And you go through everything, so the rabbi, yes. So what should I talk about? He says, Judaism. Okay. And he always used to tell over the joke, of course, with an accent, because the ones who had this thing were guys who came from Europe yet. And so the idea was that they don't want anything, but they want that semblance of religion. I want to be considered a religious person. And there has to be a commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you want to be a religious person. Whoever set up the settlers, a very interesting thing. Bamidbar always has to come out before Shavuos. Sometimes you'll have no say also, but Bamidbar must always be before Shavuos. And the expression is brought down in the Beyond Defendant Siddur, count and be mikam. Well, Shiva said it used to be the worship of the people. Simple, count and be mikam. But what has counting got to do with being mikam of the Torah? The idea was this. When you count, you're one. And Moshe Rabbeinu is one. So you're equal to Moshe. What do you mean, reclamation? You're nothing compared to Moshe. Yeah, but Moshe Rabbeinu did the best with all the kishrenes that God gave him, and I'm doing the best with all the kishrenes God gave me, and that makes us both equal. The fact that he has more kishrenes than me doesn't make him bigger than me. Make me bigger doesn't make him greater than me. I'm the same being me, and doing the best I can is him. That's what we care. Everyone is counted. And now let's go talk in how they counted. They used to count everyone. They give machzis hashekel. And that's the way they counted the people. Why do they count the people with a machzis hashekel? Because you shouldn't count like this. And if in case you give the money to stock it, you know, vibes kesef hakipur. If you count, you got a magefa, you got what do you call it, a lionel, or whatever you want to call it. I don't understand. We have a census in the United States, right? There's a reason for it. And even in the Eretz Yisrael, there's a reason for a census. How many yeshivas we should build? Can't just say we don't know how many people there are. We have to know how many people there are. You want to go to the war? How many soldiers am I going to have? It's important to know these things. So he said, pshat's like this. I want you to count. I want you to count how many people I have on my side, the Benishim side. Right? You claim you're one of them. Are you truly one of them? You do everything you're supposed to do? Well, not everything. Most of the things. So you're really not a full soldier. You're really not a full gun. So the Benishim says, I only want to know who the full soldiers are. So if you pass the test and you're talking a full soldier, fine. If you're not, then the money goes for Kesef HaKippur. So we're going to have the kashif. If it's no good to count, so why are we counting? And if it's important to count, of course we should count. So why are you not? The point is, I want you to count. I want you to try to become who you should become. And if I take away that from you, you won't aim for it even anymore. Therefore, that's the important part. Okay. Now, I guess that now we come back to the point of how do we build Torah. So, it's interesting. There's one Sipurne, only one, in Parashat Pekudei. And it tells you from the details of the Pasuk to show that what had to go up first was the Mishkan. What's the Mishkan? Not the building. The Esiris, the ceiling, had to go up first. So he says that means you have to either have tall ladders or you had to have a miracle happen. But the idea is the roof, the ceiling goes up first. And then you put the adonim, that's the foundation. And then you put the koshim, which the walls, and that reaches the thing. It doesn't make any sense. So So the idea is, and what's one of the problems we have when we try to build the yeshiva, we think, how do you build? We come in, let's say, out of town. Well, let's take in most places out of town. Like, why aren't they in the same level as a New York yeshiva? Why do they call it a day school? Because usually when you build them, you say, well, let's see how much we can do with them. Right? So we say, we go, we learn this much, this much, this much. Right? We don't have a goal in how much we should cover. Whatever we can cover, that's how much we're going to cover. That way you'll end up, by the time you get the eighth grade, maybe you'll learn Mishnayos. The first thing you have to say, look, is that that's our goal. We want to make them the ceiling. That's where we're going. We're going to the top. And now the figure is, we have 8 years or 5 years or 2 years. It doesn't make a difference to get to that top. So what do we have to cover each time? We set our curriculum according to that. All of a sudden, everybody's up to that level. That's the point. So it has to come. So why the Adonim? Next, the support of Chayrish, but the Koshim, then the Adonim, maybe, I don't know. Maybe too heavy to lift them up again. I can't answer that. But the Koshim, the Adonim, is the foundation. And that's interestingly, the only Adonim, the Adonim were made from the Masses HaShekel, from everybody. And that was the Adonim. And that was made for the foundation. We need to tell you, every Jew in Klal Yisrael is entitled to the same foundation. That's what we're entitled to. And if we have that, then we can climb and become, reach the ceiling. We become the boards. We become the cushion. And no matter what level we're on, but as long as we're doing the best we can in the situation that we are, that's reaching the ceiling. So we reach the ceiling. Everybody reaches that ceiling. So that's what we have to have. How do we make a lasting commitment? You know, every year, we do make a commitment every year. This that we said, that Shavuos is once a year. We always, with a bracha, you should have an emes of Kabbalah's HaTorah. What does it mean? It means I'm accepting again the Torah. Each time I try again, I'm going to try again. I'm going to be definitely mekabel the Torah the right way. Next year, probably didn't do as good a job as I should have done. I try again. Okay. So how do you make this commitment to yourself? So, Tana Baraisa in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, Kachi Galke Shel Torah. This is the way of the Torah. Paslam Al Teicha Mamam Shlotista. Whatever it is, there, it's a point of sacrifice to a certain extent. We don't really sacrifice like that. Baruch Hashem, we give you good meals. You sleep a good night, you have soda besides water. Plenty of things. What do you mean this thing then? So Rashi says it means, even if it means that. I find it that's so schwer. And the reason why I am able to understand it because I have an afternoon, I have a yeshiva for kids and grown ups. And when a kike, when especially when a kid comes, and he's just over by mitzvah, he's 14, let's say, just over by mitzvah. And he's complaining to his mother every night, oh, well, you know, I got too many people in my room. I don't even like everybody there. And the food I don't care for. You know, you make me special food here. Nobody's making special food for me. The mattresses are a little bumpy, right? I'm happy. But the mother doesn't give in. I mean, the kid's still there. And after about a month's time, the kid stops complaining. And the mother asks, what happened to your complaints? He says, I love it here. What do you mean you love it here? I sacrificed. And I found out in the end, it was no sacrifice. But probably with the Dafyemi people, you could hear this again. Person going Dafyemi. Yes, he had a 5 o'clock. He has to go here at 5 o'clock. He's up at 4 or 3:30. And some days he has to listen to it again. He didn't get it good. And he comes back at night and goes to the 11 o'clock. That means he's going to have very little sleep that night. And he's tired the next day. So he's complaining to his friend, oh, am I tired. And his friend says, with your schedule, so why don't you quit? Why don't you stop doing that for me? He says, I can't. That's my life. All of a sudden, it's not sacrifice anymore. This is more important than all the other stuff. And therefore, I can do it. It's hard. I didn't say it wasn't hard, but I'm not giving it up. That's a commitment. Now, how do you train yourself to come out with what we have to come out the right table, as we're going to call it? One, it's no preconclusions. In other words, a lot of the problems with reform and conservatism, or even the modern Orthodox or something like that, whatever terminology you use, is we want to have this cooler. And therefore, we're going to be matalit, and now we're going to figure out how to be matalit. I can't do that. What you do is, I want to know what God says. Sit down and learn, without any negation, and see what God says. Okay. Now, how will you get this, really discussions, you put it, call it Tuba Chaverim? How do you get Tuba Chaverim? So Shiva Zatzal used to have a very simple way. You should have your Chavrusa. You should prepare the Gemara before you learn with the Chavrusa. Normal Chavrusa, you have one dominant member and one non-dominant. One who's speaking is the dominant member. And therefore, unless he says something very not right, the other guy's going to be agreeable. But what happens if I prepared the Gemara before, and you prepared the Gemara before? And anything that you say, I'm going to argue with you. So therefore, it creates Tupa Chaverim. I don't need 100 people for Tupa Chaverim. 2 people is all I need. Me and my Chavrusa. And at the end, you should reach a conclusion. Then say halacha l'maisa, because you don't know if it is. You're not on chas yet. But this Gemara holds this way. That much I know. And I just want to put in this point of learning Lishma, just to give an update to what it means. Learning Lishma, the real way, means I'm learning Torah for no other reason except to know that that's Hashem. That's the only reason I'm learning Torah. I believe that a lot of the coronavirus was because, you see, it was a big question. Closed up our yeshivas. Bilam of Usher couldn't close it up. Now, with all this clawless, the Ben Shemay changed the whole world system. That the clawless shouldn't be chal. So, and a virus that Ben Shemay sends is going to have a side effect of closing the yeshivas. Now, there's one reason they want to close the yeshivas. They want you to think about, are you doing the right thing? I want to be Mashiach already. It's time. It's almost 6,000 years. I have to bring Mashiach soon. Can I in this thing? So the reason, so the way they get us to know what the Das Hashem is. Right? There are, yeah, and there's a people that learn like this. Unfortunately, that the land lay the Shema, I don't have to come up with any conclusions. It's not important for me to know what the Das Hashem is. It's Abaye, it's Rav. It's not Abaye saying Das Hashem, no, Rav is saying Das Hashem. So what happens is, and this is a Maisa Shehab, the Shehoye Yemison. Remember, I saw such a Talmud. Okay, he was complaining to me, why is it that Mashkiach is asking him why he's not on time? Why didn't he come to Davnik? Why doesn't he come to Zdorim on time? And he gave me a bechin, and I didn't know. And he's yelling at me. Why is he picking on me? I'm learning, isn't it enough that I'm learning Torah Lishma? I came to yeshiva, not doing anything except to learn Torah. So I goof a little. So what's wrong with that? That's not the Lishma we're talking about. I learn without reason. Of course I learn with a reason. The reason that that's a shame. But after that reason, it's like it's without any reason. Okay. If Takia, we're able to change our attitude, that it's not just mental gymnastics, and it's not just a debate team or a group of people that just, I like to be part of the Chabura or something, or it's the hype of the moment, to go do Yafyemi or something like that. I'm doing it because I sincerely wouldn't know. The Ben Shem will bring us Mashiach and Mihayyavim and Meinu. Now, if the Kabbalah Cheshvu is to make a final commitment, that Nasir and Ishma, the Ben Shem wants to hear it. That's Lacha Rabba. Oh, yeah,